throwing lottery tickets out of your window.
Pumps on your...
When you exit. Take Manchester exit on the 110 freeway. Throw like lottery tickets
really
out the window. Just like God's plan. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And this is episode 55. Yes. I almost said 54. I'm really bad at keeping numbering for the own episode. This was a week of music.
There was a lot of music. There's a lot of shit.
There was...
Releases.
What we're going to be talking about is Florence and the Machine. They released an album.
That they did.
Drake released two albums.
That he did.
And Gorillaz released an album, which I didn't expect to be saying this recently to last year, but...
Well, if recent fucking history tells us anything, Damon gets really antsy, makes an album a year after, makes a blockbuster album.
Yeah, but...
Hence Plastic Beach, The Fall, and then Humans, and then I don't know.
We'll talk about that, because I think this might be a little bit different, but that's why we have a podcast, which we can talk about all these things, which is blowing up on YouTube. It's happening. People liking our views. That's cool. Follow us on Audio Face Pod for all the things. We usually do a like new single of the week, and I don't know if we've done that the past couple of weeks, but we're not doing it this week either. But we did find something.
Yes. Oh man, I've been looking for this for years. Jesus.
Why don't you tell us what you're looking for?
Yeah. So obviously, Radiohead is the best band, blessed by Jesus Christ himself. The Vatican has a monument of Thom Yorke in dancing red pants and a Fred Perry polo in Tokyo 2008. In there?
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, along with Michelangelo. You got Tom.
You know all the tapes they wanted to get rid of.
Okay. So anyways, so if you're a deep, deep state Radiohead fan, you know there's like so many little projects and stuff. Songs like Follow Me Around is a good song that's unreleased. You have so many different things that they've done. One of them was called Come to Your Senses, which they were kind of using before the In Rainbows era happened and testing it to see if they wanted to put it in Rainbows. It never really happened. The only time you could hear it is after you're at the show in 06, and I forget where the show was.
That was the Berkeley show.
I think
show.
It was at Berkeley.
Like, it's the Berkeley show.
It was actually, I don't know if they did it during the show, but it was like a sound check they did it. And some guy posted a clip of like a minute and a half of it, the dawn of YouTube, and no one's ever heard of it since. And I remember hearing it in like 2007 or so when I first started YouTube. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I wonder if it'll be on in like disc 2 or something. You never heard about it again. And I was just like trying to find it. I remember a few years ago, I go, someone's unearthed it. Nope.
I think that's the moment when a little Sean stopped believing in God.
Yep. I started to believe in Tom and Johnny. That's what I started. Anyways, so somebody released it.
It's
the guy who made it or recorded it released the entire song. 12 years later, Come to Your Senses is alive. It's pretty cool, actually. It's the sound quality is actually
excellent.
Excellent. That's what I'm surprised of. And it's pretty cool. I like it. It sounds...
It says it was acoustic guitar here, but I could have sworn it was very banjo-y. And it was like more folk.
Well, there was a half... It was... The half of the song was folkish-y, and the second half sounded like a In Rainbows version of Knives Out. Basically.
That's pretty close to what.
And that's what I liked about it, because the first it's a really raw demo of the song that they just never ended up using. So that was really cool. If you're a big Radiohead fan or something, you'll like that. Come to Your Senses. It's a pretty cool song. And there's so much music out there that they haven't officially released that they've done in only certain shows, and it's really, really good. So you should go and listen to it, because Radiohead are fucking awesome.
Yeah. Similar to Audio Face. I wonder if we did something purposely there.
I wonder if I made the name or not. What?
But let's go a little bit into the news. This is a ripoff. Don't catch you slipping up.
No. What?
There was a lot of news early this week about apparently Childish Gambino's song This Is America was quote-unquote heavily influenced by another song called American Pharoah by rapper Jay's Harley. And it was a Jay's Harley song, of course, was really like small, not a lot of, didn't get like the kind of mainstream appeal that Gambino's version got. But having listened to the two, there's similarities, but I won't say it's like, this isn't like lawsuit territory. Vanilla Ice, territory. Like, we're not going there.
It's not as bad. It's one of those where people saying how, oh my God, when we're blanking on the new 1975, Give Yourself a Try, the new 1975 track. How some people are saying, it sounds like a Joy Division song. I'm like, well, the bass line is pretty similar, but they're totally different. So it's the same realm of that where some artists just happen, or maybe you've heard it years ago and you go, okay, and then you make something a little different of it, or it's just happen to make something that sounds similar.
Yeah, and the artist doesn't seem to be too, like, hurt by it. He's, like, even posting saying, like, he was humbled as one of the, and, like, recognized one of the original inspirations of the song, and he doesn't want people to feel, like, bad for him or angry at Childish Gambino, because ultimately, both of their messages are similar of, like, trying to, the political messages that were in This Is America. So, no hard feelings there. Usually involves, like, a lawsuit or something worse than that, but, no, they kind of made it through that. Next. Oh, it's my Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa wrapped up into one.
Jeez.
Because there's a new Gorillaz album out. And this is the first time on Audioface we're actually doing a show where we get to talk about a Gorillaz album, really. There was the Gorillaz, like, preview thing we did last week, the little bonus episode that we dropped. Hope you like that. And we also have talked about it a little bit in passing because I've tried to get it in because I didn't honestly think that I'd ever get to talk about a Gorillaz album on this podcast, but here we are, the Now Now.
Now Now.
It's like, what, 11 songs and 40 minutes? Which is very different from Humans.
Want me to go first, or do you want to go first for this?
I'll go first, because you often start off albums. I generally let you do it, and fuck it, my podcast. I think this is a really good album. Really, really good. Humility seems to be the really popular song off of it, and that's how the album begins, which, I mean, apparently begins really well. I think Humility is kind of the soft, on like peppy, really on melancholy hillish kind of song off of this album. It invokes a lot of that kind of happy, poppy tone, even though, I guess, On Melancholy Hill is definitely more sad.
No, hence the name.
Yeah. But Humility is very different. It shifts a different tone for Gorillaz in general, because in the lore, like, Murdoch is out of the picture, is replaced by Ace from the Powerpuff Girls, which is hilarious. 2D is, like, acting more like the frontman of the group rather than, like, Murdoch pulling the strings in the idea of it. But really, this is just Damon Albarn kind of holding himself back, and, like, the production holding itself back a little bit from Humans, which was good, but was kind of all over the place.
Which was just a clusterfuck.
That's not what this is, because there are very few features on here. It's just Humility and then Hollywood featuring Snoop Dogg and Jamie Principle, which is really good.
It's a fucking good song.
It's got everything I love in a Gorillaz song, but I'll get to that in a moment. And then other songs which are just like nice synth sounding good songs. Like, it's Gorillaz bread and butter that's really in there. And so that's kind of towards the second half of the album. And technically the album's divided into two parts. The second part beginning with Lake Zurich, but it's not really too relevant to it. I listened to it, it's just like that whole piece, start to finish, and I really, really liked it. But what'd you think?
I think the first half of the album is definitely stronger than the second half. I love the first half a lot. I like the second song, Trans. That is a really, really good tune. I like it. Hollywood. Kansas is okay. I don't know. There's two songs I'm kind of iffy on, which are Kansas and Idaho, ironically states in the U.S. I don't know. I just didn't like them too much. The last song, Sokai. I don't know if that's how you say it. Suki.
Suki. Oh, Suki.
I enjoyed a lot, but that first half of the album, basically going up to Lake Zurich, because I do like Lake Zurich a lot. Magic City, Fireflies are okay, but the whole album as a whole, I like a lot better than Humans. There are tracks on Humans that I like a lot more than the Now Now. Basically, if they chopped down Humans and made it more coherent like the Now Now, Humans would be probably my favorite Gorillaz album, but they just made it too crazy. The Now Now, they read the production value of it, and they chopped it down into 11 songs instead of a clusterfuck, made it a lot more coherent. Every song on it sounds like an era. It's like Plastic Beach, Demon Days, where you hear that song, you're like, okay, that's like Plastic Beach era, that's Demon Days era. This is like, okay, that's the Now Now era. You can feel that. And stay true to their sound, push it a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Overall, good album. The second half is okay. There's a couple songs on there that felt like filler songs to me, but There were some definitely good songs. That first three, Humility, Trans, and Hollywood, were
goes really
very,
in.
Very
it goes
solid.
Very
so the start of the album is very, very strong. And it ends strong. I like the last song a lot.
I like the last two songs. Like the last 1% and Suga 1%, together.
Yeah, I'll give you that. 1%'s okay. And Suga is really, really good. So full album together so to finish is pretty solid.
I just like that with this album, I was reminded why I think I like bands like Gorillaz and what they really have to offer, because I keep trying to offer something really tangible to it. And what that ultimately ends up being is that the composure of these songs is a lot more complex than just like a simple 4-bar repetition mm-hmm. on itself. Like it has codas and it has different parts and normal constructions you have in music, but it's in a very kind of simple pop construction. That's really what works best in this. I think that some of the slower songs on this album, like Kansas, Idaho, Magic City, and Fireflies, they'll grow on me with some time, and even like in a mood I'll be into them.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it doesn't have like the every song is pretty amazing stopping power that like Demon Days and Plastic Beach had.
Even Humans, there's a lot of tracks in there you go, oh my god. That we saw. This album doesn't feel like it has any of those real moments, but the whole thing top to bottom is very, very coherent.
I think it has a lot of those moments, but it has fewer of those moments than Gorillaz albums have in the past. But I think as far as a piece and a finished work, having less and not doing as much still is better, but there are individual songs on this that I kind of like the way Sean put it, where Humans had better songs but more kind of randomness. And then Now has pretty good songs, but it's a little more succinct.
Yeah.
So, didn't come up with an arbitrary scale for this. Can you think of one off the top of your head super fast?
Super fast. McDonald's Happy Meals. So, 5 being really shitty because you'll get diabetes and die. 1 being really good because you don't want a Happy Meal because you'd rather be vegetarian and eat like a salad.
Or like, I'm gonna add too much nuance into this, but like, yeah, let's just do Happy Meals. Just don't eat too many of them, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is, and you know what, I think this is apt because for the next review, we'll explain. But
thank you.
I think this is 2 Happy Meals, but both of them are like substituted with like apples in it. So you get like the healthy alternative to the Happy Meal, but still 2 to where it's like, I'm not sure if I want all of this.
That's me. I was going to say 2 and then substitute, instead of the burger, substitute like chicken nuggets or something like that.
Too. Yeah.
Still, you'll die from them, but.
Maybe like a juice instead of the soda.
Yeah. Exactly. You get like the little,
like
little
apple juice
box thing that they put. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
They did not pay for advertising on this show, and no, you can definitely tell.
Fuck them.
And you can tell. So Kendrick Lamar did an interview in some magazine, but he kind of responded. Oh, he's in Vanity Fair. And he kind
it's
of
a big magazine, you know.
It's a magazine.
People read Vanity Fair.
No, no, I literally didn't know the name of the magazine off the top of my head. I didn't mean to like shit talk Vanity Fair.
I know. I'm messing with you.
They do decent work, I'm sure. Really stopped myself.
Never mind.
So Kendrick talked a little bit about the whole like N-word controversy thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago, and we had some like different but kind of similar opinions.
2 months ago.
Yeah, and we ultimately came on the line of we kind of understand Kendrick, but ultimately it's a different context to where your fan there is not.
It's a song, dog. Like let him. It's in the lyrics. What do you expect?
Right, and Kendrick's kind of response to that was,
let me.
Long story short. He came up from nothing and was told, like, in a lot of different contexts that he couldn't have certain things. So he's like, let me have this one thing. Which is not too different from what he said before.
I mean, it's whatever. You've already heard my response from before, so.
And because what he said isn't really that different from before, it's, like, not really much else to add.
Yeah.
Listen to that conversation, like, Ireface 49-ish. Mm-hmm. Next, we have the Death Corner, which, not to make light of it necessarily, although
we'll get even to, though this guy had never mind.
We'll get to this in a moment, but we just had a couple of stories like deaths we wanted to talk about in the news. Firstly, Joe Jackson, who is like the father of the Jackson family, so Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Randy Jackson,
Jackson Five,
all of them. He died at the age of 89.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, I fucking hate him.
Yeah, he made Michael get so much damn no surgeries. Jesus Christ.
He was extremely abusive and it was like super well known. He was like, he was a dad, but he was kind of like a manager boss of them, which is, I think, the worst thing ever. When you're managers of like a child celebrity thing and they're like making a hit and you're making money off of that, then no, that's going to be such a bad, such a bad thing.
And he's just a shitty person.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a 20-year affair during which he fathered an 11th child, apparently.
So. Jesus.
Oops.
Yeah. He's had a number of health issues, but really, and you can even go into the Jehovah's Witness stuff and how that was kind of used to scare Michael and things like that, and I would gladly go hard in the paint on that, but that's not this podcast.
Yeah, I know. And Michael's one of my favorite artists ever, even though he's kind of weird, but it's really his fault. Like, the father fucked him up a lot, especially in All the No stuff too, as somebody who's gone through that.
All the No stuff, all the ideology stuff, it's just
and like his image and everything. It's really sad when you look into it, Eddie Bravo, when you look into it.
Oh god
anyways,
and then also this happened just as like we just like yesterday, and we're doing the podcast on a Sunday kind of as usual. Toronto rapper Smoke Dogg was shot and killed in Toronto.
Oops.
Outside of a club, and there was like...
Damn, it's back in like 04, baby. Rappers getting shot.
Yeah, although I don't want to speak to you like highly of this, because coming off of... We had our fun with XXXTentacion. That was a...
But that makes sense, because that was a different thing, right? XXXTentacion,
yeah.
And he's a piece of shit.
In this case, it's like, he was at a club or whatever, standard rapper. He seemed like super young, like he was like early 20s and promising kind of future career. So this isn't something I'm even kind of remotely happy for. It's just like,
sucks. No, like we're not at all. It's like, this is, now we're back to, this is a reality again where, rappers are getting shot.
And it's happening a lot more often than it used to. It hasn't kind of been like this since,
like early 2000s. Yeah, basically.
Which its own was like a continuation off of like rap violence
rap
from the 90s.
From the 90s of gangster rap and Eazy-E pulling up with the fucking AK coming up. You fucking my girl, I'm gonna pipe you right now.
Right? Like, it's weird.
Now speaking of that, now we're gonna go to whack, weak-ass rappers, fake Jamaicans, and other Toronto.
Yeah, we know.
That's Drake. Drake released Scorpion.
Drizzy.
Fucking 25 songs. Hour and 29 minutes.
Hour and 29. I listened to this both ways going to work on the freeway in Los Angeles, and I still didn't finish it.
Want to know what's really fucking funny?
What?
Guess what my limit was? It is exactly the 12 songs. I stopped after, is there more? I started peak and I go, I can't. And I was playing Xbox and I listened to it again and I just from top to bottom and I go, yeah, is there more? I'm like, okay, I'm done.
So that's promising.
Really
because
funny because we okay. Context. I said, all right, Dan, let's make a bet. Let's see, guess how long I can make it. And we both came to the conclusion. I think I can make 12 songs.
No, yeah, we had you at 15 songs specifically. So that would have been on disc 2 of Scorpion Jaded.
But I made it exactly through disc 1.
So that's.
I said, whatever disc 1 is, that's what I'm making it through. And I didn't even know. I just found out right now that was disc 1.
So you made it through disc 1 of Drake, which some might say is surprising. So what did you feel about?
It's whatever. It's nothing special. The only song that was remotely cool is the last one on the first album, which is There More? That was kind of a cool song because of the lyrics of this, Is There More? And the rest is whatever. God's Plan is hilarious just because of the Tesla in Berkeley. And then
I'm an inside joke about how you can use the God's Plan song to like juxtapose severe levels of like income inequality. Yeah.
So, and then it's just, I don't know. It feels like it keeps contradicting itself, the album, because of the songs of I'm upset, emotionless. Is there more? And it's talking about all the stuff it's going on, and he's, I don't know.
Drake has feelings.
Drake has feelings, and then he says, I don't have feelings, but I do have feelings, but I don't have feelings.
But I think that's kind of Drake's appeal is that he is a little more, I guess, that emotion artist kind of, quote unquote. But at the same time, we kind of make fun of it because he's like, he's the soft one. He's the one who like has feelings and he's like the teddy
bear. No, it's not even that. But it's because the way he presents it's really whack. If you have feelings, you can go to 1975 and make a song called The Ballad of Me and My Brain and say, hey, I'm going absolutely mental, but I'm going to make fun of myself for going absolutely mental.
Yeah, there's different ways of doing it. Not necessarily saying like one is like
the superior. One, there isn't like a specific way, but just but the way Drake does it is the wrong way.
But what I was going to point out is that like Drake kind of makes his albums, if you want to call like this 25 song thing like an album, just ridiculous. But there's songs that kind of appeal to every song.
Fuck boys.
Like, okay, well, not even that, but songs appeal to different people on the album. So like, some people might like one song and not really like that. I thought Is There More specifically was kind of ridiculous and I just didn't like it even for the lyrics. However,
the production of Is There More is fucking awful.
However,
oh my god.
I liked Nonstop a lot, which is the second song on the album, and it kind of goes into that, oh, I'm Drake but I don't have emotions kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But like that's just a little preference thing. Ultimately, when we're talking about this album, Drake's sound has not changed since I first attempted to listen to a Drake album, which was, if you're reading this, too late.
The peak Drake is 2013 Drake of Nothing Is This. Nothing was the same. Peak Drake is 2013 Nothing Was the Same. Ever since then, it's just gone downhill.
Ever since then, it's just like,
everything sound the same. You can, again, what I said last week, where you can put stuff in albums and you can distinguish good artists from bad artists from, well, one way is saying, hey, can a song from one album go in the other one? And if it sounds almost exactly the same, then, unless it's an album that comes right after or something.
The
like
idea is that,
then it's not good.
The idea being that like a good artist can adapt and evolve their sound between albums, because that's the whole point. You don't want to just like keep making more of the shit that you've made always. You want to evolve on it sometimes a little bit, or sometimes do something completely different. And like, yeah, you can succeed, and we've talked about bands that succeed well with that. But no,
Drake did that.
And so the first half and the second half compared are like, one's a little more trappy and the other one's R&B Drake, and both are not new. I mean, he just decided to organize which songs were his kind of trap bullshit thing and which ones were his I'm kind of R&B-ing bullshit thing. I guess it makes it easier, but yeah, the second part was harder to get through than the first even.
I just, this the first 2 minute or first minute of Peak, I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Don't
literally,
matter.
Literally off. I'm like, I'm done.
Don't Matter to Me was a waste of Michael Jackson's sample. But I will say that the joke about Michael Jackson's father, what's his name, Joe Jackson, getting back to like heaven or hell or whatever in the afterlife and telling Michael Jackson to get back to work to release the Drake song. That was kind of funny.
He would do that. Anyways, arbitrary score. I'm saying 3. No, I'm not. I'm fucking saying fucking 4 Happy Meals.
I would say 4 Happy
Meals. You're getting diabetes, and you're going to get your stomach pumped, and you're gonna die.
It's gonna have some serious heart problems. Kind of like Drake's kid. Should I be making jokes about Drake's kid?
Or definitely make jokes about Drake's kid.
No, you definitely shouldn't. I think you can, like, innocent kid. But, I mean, I just did, so whatever. I'm not gonna edit that out or anything. Fuck it. There's not exactly a Pusha T diss in here at all, really. But there are some references to it. And the redeeming quality I will say about this album is that there are, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, these songs are going to be played endlessly for the summer, the end of the year, and unfortunately into next year. And some of them, at least for a little while, aren't horrible.
Yeah. God's Plan is okay.
Nice for what I can be in a mood for.
It's already overplayed.
Yeah. The rest was just really not worth listening to. Like, real talk.
It's annoying. Fuck out if you're Drake. Before
we go to a break, there's something really fun that we should talk about. Mm. And it's the fact that a producer from the Boondocks, so one of the original producers, mm-hmm. is working on an Adult Swim cartoon with Drummond Vince Staples.
Holy fuck, what?
Yeah.
I need this in my life. I am so down. That's gonna be wild. If they give him creative freedom, that's gonna be...
Culture will improve significantly if this show gets made.
This is gonna be crazy.
Like, okay. We haven't had a really saucy show in a while, and I think Drum has, like, the mainstream appeal. Like, oh, everyone loves Drum. And then people love Vince Staples, but I mean, like, you know what happens when Vince Staples gets near a mic.
Vince Staples goes off. He doesn't give a fuck.
Vince Staples has mastered the art of getting sponsorships and making a lot of money while still saying whatever the fuck he wants to. And getting more sponsorships.
I'm being real, too.
Yeah, which is great. Also, shout out Long Beach. And the producer, Carl Jones, has been on the Boondocks, like, from the start.
Mm-hmm.
He's well-trusted. We know he's good. Boondocks is a show we reference all the time. I mean, the Rap Beef segment comes from that. And so,
Rap Beef.
I'm very excited for that. Let's take a quick break, and then we will come back with more news, and then the Florence and the Machine review.
Yep. Lil Uzi Vert wants to start a fund for XXXTentacion's family.
Yeah. Ski Mask, the Slump God, and Nicki Minaj have already signed on to it. And this is, like, kind of to support XXXTentacion's family after he's, like, passed, because, you know, we've talked about that and gone through that story. And the XXXTentacion Foundation, that's a... You could also call it XXX Foundation.
This is just too much. And I'm not going to say anything because it'll upset people.
No, I got two things to say about this specifically. So one goal of this is to be, like, to... I guess one of the ideas was to, like, put up young artists like XXXTentacion through this charity. And,
oh.
Yeah, it says, trust me, the Fun Foundation will be for all young entertainers and young men and women that die from gun violence, etc. So it's...
Okay, if it's good work going into it, then have at it. But again...
Okay, so...
It's XXXTentacion.
You have a better opinion now than I do. I say this is still bullshit because one of Lil Uzi Vert's tweets was, we can buy chains and watches and cars. We can also donate and give support. How about you donate and give support to the victims of XXXTentacion for starters? And then you can get to your...
And by the way, she's not even in his will.
Right? And then you can get to the Fun Foundation for artists and victims of gun violence. I mean, I'm still on it. No one's talking about that. Where's her support coming
Seriously.
From?
Seriously. She got forked.
Jesus.
I'm never going to let that live that down. Who the hell forks somebody? Jesus.
Who invents forking?
Anyways, you can now add popular music to Instagram stories.
Which
Apparently,
is interesting.
You can add thousands of songs to your photos and videos now.
And they're like the regular recording, so you don't have to like play it out of your phone speakers and have it sound kind of crappy. It'll just like, you can pick the specific part, which is weird because it's a legal way to do it now,
so
I guess.
So I can go to my store or like just take something right now. Let's try this.
Yeah, you can, of course, try this on the podcast. It's going to be really good. This is very good podcast things. He's actually doing it on his thing. So you hit the stickers button. And then you get music. And you can just add whatever song you want to do.
What is the first thing that comes up?
Emotionless by Drake.
I might need to alive myself. So I'm going to go on the audio face.
Oh, there's Another Little Bitch Ed Sheeran.
Another Little Bitch Ed Sheeran. So we are going to do this live right now. So
no, we're not.
Yes, we are.
This is too much effort. We don't have time. You're the one who has to go somewhere, remember?
I'm trying to content.
Whatever. Okay, so we're doing an Instagram story. And you can go ahead, do the video. Or you're doing a photo. That's fine. I look so weird. Don't do that.
Well, you want a video?
Yeah, we might as well do a video so at least people can match the fact that we're literally doing the podcast right now while you're doing an Instagram video thing. Okay, whatever.
I'm just trying to piss him off. That's the idea of all of this.
Great job. The listeners of the podcast will really enjoy this.
I forgot I didn't turn off my sound.
Finally!
I never used my phone.
We got one.
It took me... I've never done it in 2018.
Like a dozen episodes.
I've never done it in 2018. It was all of last year's where I fucked up.
So you did a full 6 months, because it's July 1st.
I've been sober for 6 months? No, I don't drink. Sean does not drink.
Anyways, So the next story, while you're adding to your Instagram story, is Germany's. Too soon.
You can't talk about my country right now. All right, we're still in mourning.
You.
No.
You know who's not in the nominee field?
No.
Germany. The nominee field for the Grammys is going to be expanding from major categories. So instead of having 5 nominees, you're going to have 8. I want to say.
I'm just gonna put more. Well,
we'll see if this improves.
I was going to say I will make my.
You'll make your
my decision.
Okay, LeBron.
For the council. I will relay my decision to the council. I will make my decision when this is put out, so that way.
You need to see the nominees.
Exactly.
Like, does opening it up to more people.
Does it get more artists that are less known, or does it just get more celebrities in?
To me, it sounds. I lean towards it'll get more celebrities because you're just expanding the pool. You're not necessarily changing the pool. You need to change the water, not expand the pool.
Anyways.
Yep. Oh, well. Now we can talk about Florence and the Machine.
That's why you should listen to the Audioface Awards, because we keep it real.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairman Sean Suarez Award for changing your fucking sound. And speaking of changing your sound, Florence and the Machine, High Ass Hope, definitely didn't change your sound.
High Ass Hope. Not High Ass Hope.
No. Accent, sorry. High Ass Hope.
10 songs, 40 minutes. Each song is about 4 minutes long.
And that's what we want. That fucking perfect average. Ken Perfect Average, hey, I want you to make a graph that is almost a straight line. That was what that graph was.
It's perfection.
Anyways, I've always liked Florence and the Machine. I know they're very, very distinctive in their sound, and you kind of have to like it or you don't like it at all. And my favorite hippie. Because the lead singer is a straight hippie.
Normally Florence.
Normally I hate that shit, but she's good at what she does. This album is pretty solid. I mean, it sounds similar to what they've done before, but it has more of a deeper message in the lyrics. It's more, I mean, it gives you more hope. It gives you more into, like, societal stuff, but not whining. I was worried there for a second, like, don't whine. And I didn't think they would, and she did.
That's good.
So, South London, Forever, Hunger, 2 and 3 are really, really good. I love those two songs a lot. No Choir is strong, and 100 Years. Those are my 4 favorite songs on the album. But definitely Hunger and South London Forever are very, very solid tracks. I mean, they have an extremely distinctive sound, and they didn't really stray far from it, but it didn't seem to go on forever. It wasn't. This is a problem with a lot of other artists like Drake. They make so many songs and albums, like a fucking album every year, 2 albums a year, that you're like, this is 200 songs that all of them sound the same.
Damn it. That was a point I forgot to make during the Drake album thing, was that we had talked last year where Drake was supposed to take this year off. Yeah. And he was supposed to like work on different music and shit. And we were like, that might be good for him because he needs a little bit of time to do something and then he didn't. The last Florence and the Machine album was How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful in 2015. Yeah.
Was it that album?
I think so.
Yeah. Shit, that was 2015.
Yeah, and this to me sounds like a little bit softer, like a little more piano is put into it.
Yeah, more. It's definitely more acoustic because their stuff before is more like alternative rock / folk. That perfect blend, not that stupid Mumford and Sons of bullshit banjo picking. I want to fucking choke you to death and drown you for making that stuff. This is that
swim instructor.
I'm a swim instructor. I teach people how not to drown.
You teach kids not know how to drown, but please go ahead, talk about choking.
Anyways, but this one is more like, yeah, I forgot to elaborate on that. It's more acoustic. Her voice is extremely distinctive, and this one was more folky than alternative than their other albums, but still like stays true to them.
Yeah,
it's good, and their messaging is a little different than this album too. So it has a set theme in this album, and it sticks to it.
I think one of Florence and the Machine's strengths is that they can really pack passion and feeling into a song, both musically and with her vocals. And I actually felt that in their lead single, Big God, the most.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just like a really good combination of the instrumentation, especially like the piano and the lower keys holding the like bass of the track kind of together.
2018, the year of the piano.
Yeah, piano's making
a
comeback.
Make the piano great again. I've been saying that forever. Fucking Mappa, make that shit. First off with Arctic Monkeys, with Alex Turner saying, oh, my manager got me a fucking Steinway. By the way, best pianos in the world, Steinways. Shit's stupidly expensive.
Shut up, they're not sponsoring us.
Dude, if Steinway sponsored, I would like die.
Dude, if Steinway sponsored us, we'd be they're getting 100... a bigger studio. We wouldn't be doing this in my room right now.
I wouldn't be doing this in your room because the entire room would be my piano. Because if I'm doing that, I'm selling out hard. I want their concert grand, which is like a $140,000 piano.
You don't give out your hand, Sean. We will have moderate negotiations in which we will work out a mutually agreeable
beneficiary deal.
And beneficiary agreement
for the shareholders.
For all parties involved.
Communist Party.
Literally, please
I haven't
reach
made
out to
a
us
communist.
On Audioface Pod.
I haven't, right? I
There's
haven't
a lot of things
done
we
a
haven't
communist
done.
Plug in a while.
So. We haven't done No Chill Island in a while, too.
Oh, hey, you haven't had time to edit? We should have had a No Chill Island, but we refrained. It'll be sometime soon whenever something stupid happens, because it's just been building and building and building, and it's like a volcano in Hawaii, and that shit's just gonna go
yeah.
And go boom.
No Chill Islands, for the new listeners, are when there's a week of not a lot of news, but all the news is just so ridiculous that it's like, okay, let's just like go ham and rip on this. Like, this is just gonna be fun.
Anyways, I like it. And you more or less like it.
More or less, yeah. You know me and slower albums. I can appreciate
I
more
like
than
slower.
Like it.
I like slower albums, personally.
But, yeah, but that's just, I know that's my personal preference.
Yeah,
so I'm
you
not
like
gonna knock it
pace.
Down for that reason.
Yeah. Which is good, unbiased and. Yeah. Learning how to do it. It's like, I judge cakes. My favorite cake is strawberry, but if someone makes a peach cake that's better, I'll allow it.
I'm a very unbiased person. I check my biases more than I think a lot of people believe.
Anyways, how many Happy Meals?
I'm gonna give this the old gorillas like two Happy Meals.
Not
for the same reasons. And two healthy Happy Meals. Not for the same reason, just because like you can do
a bit more.
I felt like there was still something a little bit missing, but not that much. Yeah. Like when you have to go back to the counter because like they forgot to put your toy in.
Yeah, that's I was gonna make the joke of you go back to the counter because you want more ketchup.
Right.
You want a little more sauce.
Yeah,
in this
you want
album.
A little more something.
If there's a little more sauce in this album, it could be really good.
Yeah.
It's a good solid album, but it's not really good. And now is really good. You got everything on the table and you're like, all right, I can eat, I'm good.
And they did a lot of things fairly different sounding in this too. Mm. Which I very much appreciate.
God, Morrissey looks really old. Oh my God.
Morrissey,
that was
from that
fucking
angle,
2015.
From that angle, looks like stringy haired, shitty English jeans Adolf Hitler.
The thing is, he actually does. And that's a sad thing. Anyways.
He looks like inbred English jeans Adolf Hitler.
There's an anti-racism event to be held near Morrissey's Manchester concert.
That he was going to have, but Morrissey canceled his concert again. Because he cancels concerts all the time. I'd rather invest all of my assets into Bitcoin than like buy a Morrissey concert ticket.
Yeah, I know, that held no value.
But Jesus. Yeah, we talked about Morrissey last year, and we even like reviewed his album a bit and talked about how, you know,
Monarchy's Dead or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, there were things we liked about it, and then we also talked about his views and everything, and they're kind of ridiculous, and so...
He's a ridiculous person, but I mean, he's made some of my favorite music of all time, too, so it's funny how that works.
Funny how that works. I think that's the closest you can feel to a Kanye fan.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's like your version of it. No, not exactly.
No, it would be more if Tom York went off the rails.
Like if Tom York in a MAGA hat.
If that happens,
oh my God.
I'm gonna donate to the RNC. That's how confident I am that that's never gonna happen.
Well, it's on video now if it ever happens.
Yes.
But what was it gonna be? Were this to happen, I think it's actually a really nice way
so
to do
easy.
It because you know they say, oh, people like to shut down things they hate or things they disagree with.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're just gonna have like a counter protest during the festival. It's gonna be fun and games and once again, proving Manchester's the best city in the world.
My ass. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. That was episode 55. We will be taking a break next week because we want a day off.
We've been going hard in the paint.
We deserve a day off.
It's peak summer in LA, and you know, we need to
go to the beach and shit. So we may put some content of us hanging out at the beach or some shit.
Yeah, this is a great time to listen to all the old episodes. I know a lot of people have been going back to do that, but we have a lot of good...
There's a lot of content.
Yeah, we have a lot of good episodes coming. And, you know, we'll come back from the beach. We'll be a little more...
A little tanner. Well, I'm always tan because fucking cycling for 2 hours gave me back my arm tan, which will be gone in about a day.
Please don't get any more tan, Sean. You might get deported. you can follow us on Twitter at Dan from the Web. So. Sean, you're at SW Suarez on Twitter. On Instagram, I'm Dan from the Internet. Sean, you're at SW Suarez. We're both at Audio Face Pod, and you can find whatever ridiculous thing Sean just posted to our Instagram. Thank you
it's
so
much. Just us talking. I didn't want to put music on it because I wanted our beautiful voices to be heard.
There's a reason I edit our beautiful voices. But thank you so much, seriously, for listening and watching. We appreciate it. Keep telling your friends about the podcast. Keep rating it. That helps people find it. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more.
Yes.
Bye.
Cheers.